raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before, or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them lies the land, as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders. Good morning, Patriots. I hope you're having a great day. Let's get started. Hey, Miss Tammy, how are you, darling?
I am good. How are you?
Good. I'm excited about this Zechariah. Don't let it freak you out. I know the thumbnail's a little freaky out, but it's going to be great. If you're new and you don't know what we're doing, we are the Freedom Force Battalion. We look at the current events in the light of God's word. This is biblical, what we are experiencing, and all the goodies about this, all the information is on melissaredpill.com. So we've been going through this series of the end times. Major clues from minor prophets. The minor prophets told us exactly about this day. She's got the study guide. I got the answer key because I'm the teacher. All right. And so, yeah, they told us exactly what we would experience. And we're on the prophet Zechariah right now. And what we have discovered is that Zechariah is basically the book of Revelation in the Old Testament. So aren't you guys amazed how many similarities there are between Zechariah and Revelation? And of course, Revelation had more revelation, and that's the way Revelation works. It just gets more and more information comes out over time. So we're on the third lesson of Zechariah, because it's a long, long book, but it's really good to see. So I'm going to, before we start, and we're going to pray first, and then we're going to start, and I'm going to tell you bring you up to speed on a summary. But if you've missed some of them, I'm going to show you where you can go and watch the other ones, okay? They're on my website. But don't forget, hit the like button. Hit it right now. Hit the like button right now. You know you like it. You know you like learning all these things. You know, these books were kind of hidden from us a little bit. And so, because no one ever really talked about it. I've been in Baptist churches, Presbyterian churches, Catholic churches. No one really talked about this. But yeah, it's really important information for us to know. Really, really good. Don't you think, Miss Tammy? All right, let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord. We praise you that you are the King of the world. Your kingdom will come and your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven, and nothing can stop what is coming. We thank you for the revelation just being more and more bright light shining and exposing the truth, and shining in all these dark places like we're going to see Zechariah was talking about. We thank you. We thank you that you are going to have the beautiful days that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what you have prepared for those who love you, and that we are going to get to enjoy these bright days of health and wealth and peace on this earth as it is in heaven. Thank you so much, Lord. We thank you that you're going to guide us through the study. Thank you that you've guided us all this way up into this day, and you've helped us to understand the truth. And we know you will do that for us today. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. All righty. All right. So if you want to go to, okay, go to freedomforce.live or melissaredpill.com. They'll both, either way, you can use either name. And you go to the videos playlists, video playlists. And our wonderful Tammy has, and our wonderful Cheryl, don't want to miss out on Cheryl. Cheryl's worked really hard to get all these things sorted out. But she, they have the videos right here. Let me move out of the way just a little bit. The videos are all here that we've been doing. It started out the all the major clues from Minor Prophets. Another way you can find them very easily is if you go to End Times Intro right here under the End Times Info tab. And then when you scroll down, you can see short videos. If you're new here and you don't like, what is she talking about? The summary about Revelation and the End Times is right here. And then a short one, even shorter than that, is a little 5-minute one. Easy to share with your friends and family. If they're like, what is another take than what we've been hearing all of our lives from the Hollywood? And sometimes from, I think, Baptist Church. I don't think the other churches were so bad about it, but some churches were really scary, end times scary. Anyway, so these are the books that I've written about all of this. And then if you scroll all the way to the end, there's a study guide. There you'll see how you can watch the videos on the end time studies from the book End Times in 1,000 Years of Peace, as well as the one Major Clues from Minor Prophets. So today we are on chapter, let me move it this way. You can see where this is the table of contents and all these minor prophets that we have done. Most of them took maybe one, maybe two, some of them took two. But this one, Zechariah, we're way down on chapter 13. Zechariah is taking four times. It's going to take four lessons to get through it. But that's okay. We're not going to rush. We want to make sure everyone understands it really, really well. And so I'm going to give you a little summary of where we were. Okay. The first week, chapters 1-5, the people they were told to stop the Baal worship. They were doing Baal worship back in the day. And everybody was doing it, so they thought it was cool. You know, you think of what you've always heard about these very backward places doing the child sacrifice. Well, that's what they thought. That was what they needed to do to please God. It sounds outrageous, but that's what they thought. The Assyrians were used to remove them from the land. And they were like the punisher. And the Lord was using them to punish the people and to correct them. But not to destroy them, but to they had to make some changes. And so then, but they went too far. They just treated the people terribly. And they just wouldn't stop. How does that sound like? That sounds like the New World Order. So that's what we are discovering is that, or, you know, what I talk about all the time is that we have realized that when the minor prophets wrote their books under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they were telling the people the information for their day, but they were also telling us information for our day. There's a dual fulfillment. And as you read through the minor prophets, you see very clearly that they were talking to us. The complete fulfillment is in our day when we see his kingdom come and his will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And then he also talks about Joshua was not the Joshua you think about as far as Moses' assistant, but this other Joshua was given a turban and all clean clothes. He was forgiven and the clothes represented he stood perfect in God's sight, even though Satan wanted to say he was evil. He was, you know, but the Lord said, no, he's righteous in my sight. And so the Lord had established for him to be not an enemy of God, but to be on God's team to build his kingdom on earth and to build the temple. It's not about building a building. It's about building God's people and having us. We are each a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? We're each a living stone built together around Christ, right? All throughout the earth. And that was his job. And that's your job. And that's my job. This we've been doing for a long time, like thousands of years. So I'm building a building. We're building people. And then that was the first week. And then the next week we did, he was talking about the woman in a basket. You might remember that, something like that from the book of Revelation about this Babylon, this whore of Babylon. Well, that's the same thing. And it's very similar, you know, symbolism. And it's talking about the exposure of the abject wickedness. And that's what we have all discovered, is there's just evil that underneath our noses that we did not even realize. It shocks the system. And I think a lot of this is going to come out here very soon, and it's going to be really tough for people to grapple with. So, yeah, we've kind of been looking at this and researching this for a long time. All right, so the next one was about in that second week, we talked about the horses, like the four horsemen of the apocalypse that people talk about. You know, and you know that what I've said is that the four horsemen are the ways that they've trampled, the evil cabal has trampled us with the wars and the financial devastation and the fake medicine and the puppet leaders. That's what that was. And then they were talking about the chariot. So similar white and black and red and green horses in the book of Zechariah. Isn't that interesting? It's very, very similar symbolism. And so basically how the Lord used them to correct humanity. And now we're ready. We're finally ready to not be under this correction. We're finally ready to take ownership of the earth and for us to rule and reign with Christ. All right, so then in chapter 8, we talked about how Christ is building us as the temple and that we are working along with him, but he is the king and the priest. That he is not only the one who rules over us, but he is the one who makes us right with God initially and keeps us in that great living relationship with God and himself. And then chapter 9, we talked about how we were, everybody was just so hard-headed and they just really would not get it. And then, all right, so then, let's see, the last thing we did was the temple of justice and truth. He wants us to build a temple of justice and truth on earth. It obviously, as we've said before, it doesn't help to have a bunch of buildings. We've got a lot of buildings. That doesn't really bring righteousness in the earth. We want this earth to be run right. And that's why we are building up the temple in God's people, in the people. How's that? That's the summary of where we are. Now, we're on chapter 11. So let me move over here, and Tammy's my lovely assistant. She'll help me to read all of this. It's a lot of the word, but I'm big on that. I'm big on that. I think we just need to read the word as much as we possibly can. So here we're on question number 11. Hopefully you guys have done your homework and you're ready to go. All right. Let me make it a little bit bigger. And you ready? All right. Let's do it.
Okay. So finally the day will come when the mourning and fasting will stop. What will happen to them? Yay. So Yahweh of Armies says the facts of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months shall be for the house of Judah. Joy, gladness, and cheerful feast. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. Yahweh of Armies says, many peoples and the inhabitants of many cities will yet come. The inhabitants of one will go to another, saying, let's go speedily to entreat the favor of Yahweh and to seek Yahweh of Armies. I will go also. Yes, many peoples and strong nations will come to seek Yahweh of Armies in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of Yahweh. Yahweh of Armies says, in those days, 10 men out of all the languages of the nations will take hold of the skirt of him who is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.
Yes. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, it says, finally, there'll be feasting and joy. What we've just experienced, here it is, October 11th, 2025, and we just saw what I believe is the end of the exile. It was the beginning of peace in the Middle East. President Trump said it was a 3,000 year event. And what happened 3,000 years ago was when the people were cast out of the land. That's what this is about. This is not just an event that's a resolution to the war from October 7th of a couple of years ago. This is the end of exile. I really do believe that's what he's talking about. This is the end of the criminal cabal running the entire world, not just Gaza, not just the Middle East, but the entire world. It's really huge. And so all these feasts are going to happen of just joy. And if you saw the children, how they were so happy. Did you guys see that? They were so happy that they know they're going to live. They're going to live, and that they're not going to be genocided. So beautiful. And, you know, we've sent over the 200 troops to make sure that this is done and that they keep their word this time, right? And so that's I'm thinking, I wasn't in the meeting with President Trump, but I'm just thinking that's what he told them. He says, we're going to have this peace, and we're going to make sure everybody, I'm sure he was saying, oh, we're going to make sure that Hamas, you know, of course, Hamas was controlled by Netanyahu. We know that. But everybody's going to, those Naughty Naughty Hamas are going to not hurt anybody, right? Obviously, the whole thing was a proxy war. We already know that. All right. Anyway, so everybody who's just been cannon fodder and has seen things that I don't even want to describe, they're just so happy. The joy, the feasting, the festival, just the joy on their faces. They're jumping and jumping and jumping up and down. They're so happy. This is what he's talking about. When all of this breaks through on humanity, there'll be such joy that we just can't even imagine. When there's no more wars anywhere, when there's no more financial devastation anywhere, when there's no more sickness, we just will pinch ourselves because we've been so accustomed to this droning on day after day after day. And then it says that people will go and they'll say they want to entreat the favor of Yahweh. And they want to say, hey, I want to know more about the Lord. I didn't understand. You know, I was misinformed about so many things. I was told there is no God, or, you know, whatever level someone is at, and they say, oh, I realize that the Lord has literally saved humanity, and I want to know him. And they'll grab hold, as it says in verse 23, they'll grab hold of the skirt of someone who's a Jew. That's us. We are the true Jews. Those who have the same faith as Abraham are the children of Abraham. It's about faith. It's not about your lineage. And so they'll grab hold of us. Get ready for someone. Oh, you may not have a skirt, you guys. Okay, it's kind of a weird way that they said it. But, you know, they'll say, you know, we want to know what's the truth. We were misled about all these things. And so, you know, some of the Muslims have been misled about what Christ did on the cross. That, you know, everybody's been misled about one thing or ten. Okay, so it's we're all going to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's going to be so wonderful. All right, so this is just going to be a wonderful day of worship for everyone. We will go with you. We have heard that God is with you. We've heard that this is all true, that this is, you know, we were misled to thinking this was all not true, but it is true, and we want to know more about it. Okay, so that is what it's talking about in 11. Is there something else you want to add, Miss Tammy?
Nope, I did good.
Yay, I did good. Yay, I get a star for that one. How about, can I have a star for number 12? Go.
Okay. Tyre believes the money they stole will protect them from judgment, but it won't. What are the evil ones doing in Zechariah 9:7, and what happens to them? Tyre built herself a stronghold and heaped up silver like the dust and fine gold like the mire of the streets. Behold, the Lord will dispossess her, and he will strike her power in the sea. And she will be devoured with fire. I will take away his blood out of his mouth and his abominations from between his teeth. And he also will be a remnant for our God. And he will be as a chieftain in Judah, and Ekron as a Jebusite.
Yeah, Jebusite. Okay, yeah. It's not a word we use every day. All right, so yeah, listen, look at this. Do you guys see this? They've heaped up silver like dust. They've heaped up gold like mire in the streets. Who's this talking about, everybody? Clearly, this is talking about the New World Order, the banksters, the international global banksters that have just gobbled up money. I actually saw a building the other day, and they were saying that the windows are gold, not just with like pretend like sheathing on top, but it's literal gold in the windows, gold flecks. I mean, this is, when people are suffering, it is awful. It's not that they obviously needed these things. They did it to keep it out of our hands. They did it to keep people from having what they needed. It's pure evil from the pits of hell. And so they've heaped it all up to them for themselves. and to keep it away from the people. But the Lord says he will dispossess her. I think what it really kind of means is like repossess. And there's some things, some things I've been researching, and I don't really have all the information about it right now, but I know that when the gold, when the silver hit $50, this is a bad thing for the banks. They have bet against silver, and they have a lot of their silver in just paper silver. It's not real silver. And if they, if there's a margin call, they will not be able to meet that. So just hold on tight. You know, there's some scuttlebutt that there's some things going on. So, you know, I haven't found the proof of it yet, but it will happen. It, whether it might have already happened, it might be happening in the future, or it might be something that happens like over time, like dominoes falling, where they just, they're slipping away. All their money gets slips away from them. And they realize that, that because they're having to pay back all this, because gold, we know, will destroy the Fed, they will lose everything that they built up. So that's what we know biblically is going to happen. We know it from the cue board, and we know it right here from Zechariah chapter 9. Mm-hmm. Yay. And so he will strike her with her power in the sea, and she'll be devoured by fire. How do you, you know, that's symbolic language, very picturesque, but how do you do that? It's by just taking back everything that, that they stole. And so much of it has been by fraud. And the amazing thing is President Trump is a genius. He knows how to get this done. It's really a beautiful thing to watch. All right. So, yeah, this verse number 7. This is the one that caused me to put the thumbnail on this video like this with my that face, with my face. Yeah, they told us. You guys know about this. Basically, the Star of David is their pentagram. How did, you know, how did we miss that all of our lives? How did we not realize that? Well, look at this verse 7. I will take away his blood out of his mouth, his abominations from between his teeth. Do I need to describe, explain what that means, you guys? This is the satanic sacrifices. These people are demons. They're filled with demons. They do what demons do. These people worship Satan. They do abominable evil. He will remove the blood out of their mouths and their abominations from between their teeth. This is what it's talking about. The, he's putting a stop to their satanic sacrifice. So they've done this literally, literally. This is deception beyond what anybody could even imagine. The problem, you know, they... And they say, oh, well, this is what God wants you to do in order to be right with him. And they take what is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus, who says, eat my flesh and drink my blood, symbolically that we're taking in him and his strength into our bodies, that he lives in us. And the beauty of that, and they make it into something unbelievably vile and wicked. Okay, so that's what it's talking about. We didn't see it before. I didn't really understand. This is literally what they have done. And this is not just something that was done 3,000 years ago. This is something that they have been doing underground to this, you know, to a certain point. I don't know at what point it has stopped. All right, so that's what it's talking about. That's what it's talking about. It's really is awful. And this is why the Lord was judging them then. And as far as this fulfillment in this day, this is why these people will be brought under judgment for what they've done to the children, okay, to people. It's awful. It's awful. It's just, that's why you're in the battle, I know. That's why, once I figured, realized that that's what these people were doing, I've been in the battle every day since. I'm like, no, not going to be part of this at all. Whatever I have to do to get out there and to share the truth. All right. So yeah, they do. They hate God. They hate God's people, right? They hate anyone who's righteous. They especially hate precious children who are just pure and innocent. And it's just, it's absolutely demonic. All right. Is there anything else you want to add to that? Or that was quite enough.
No.
That's enough.
Yes, we're good.
Yeah, that's, yeah, that's it. And the Lord is putting a stop to it. So, you know, they've tried to bring hell on earth, and they really have. They really brought hell on earth. Praise the Lord that the children in Gaza are saved. Praise the Lord that the children who've had autism will be saved. It's yes that they've done this underground in these tunnels and this evil cannibalism and just awful. But it's even more than that. I mean, it extends to all the things that they've done to wreck humanity with wars and with you know the sickness and all that. All right. There you go. Number 13.
Okay. More promises from the Lord. What will he do with the weapons and what will he do for the prisoners? Who will fight alongside him? So I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle how will be cut off? Bow. And he will speak peace to the nations. His dominion will be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I have set free your prisoners from the pit in which there is, which is no water. Turn to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. For indeed, I bend Judah as a bow for me. I have loaded the bow with Ephraim. I will stir up your son, Zion, against your son's Greece, and will make you like the sword of a mighty man. Yahweh will be seen over them. His arrow will flash like lightning. The Lord Yahweh will blow the trumpet and will go with whirlwinds of the south. Yahweh of armies will defend them. They will destroy and overcome with sling stones. They will drink and roar as through wine. They will be filled like bowls, like the corners of the altar. Yahweh their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they are like the jewels of a crown, lifted on high over his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Grain will make the young men flourish, and new wine for virgins.
Yes, awesome, awesome, terrific. Thank you so much. I love this passage right here. Clearly, this is talking about what's happening in our day. That, you know, because the people then did not have victory over their Assyrian captors. They did not. This is clearly being fulfilled in our day, right? So, yes, amen. H. Clay, thank you. Use us like Joshua. Yes, yes. And see what some other folks are saying over there. Yeah, I think we do have a troll. Yeah, so let's make sure that we're on the we're talking about Zechariah and not about some of the other things. So anyway, so yeah, thank you for that. Now in Zechariah in chapter 9, he's talking about I'll cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow will be cut off and he will speak peace to the nations. In other words, no more wars. His dominion will be from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. Okay, I think that river is probably talking about the River Jordan. So really, where it goes through his land, starting there all the way, peace extending throughout all the world. And so he's saying, also, because of the blood of your covenant, I have set free your prisoners from the pit in which is no water. You're already in a pit, but there's not even any water in the pit. You know, there's nothing to help you to survive. Okay, so this is what we've had in this world. It's just been awful. Like these poor people in Gaza have just been, it's just been awful. And so now you see, he said, I will set you free. All these who've been prisoners, and you know, maybe you've been a prisoner, you're like I'll just bring up the autism thing. The mothers are saying this treatment that they're doing now is helping their children so much, and they didn't even know about it. You know, they were a prisoner to this malady for so long, or a prisoner to the financial devastation, or a prisoner to, you know, literally what's going on in, has been going on in Gaza. But now, being set free, everyone being set free for their health and their wealth and their peace. It's amazing. He says, I'm going to set everyone free. He says, because of what? The blood of your covenant. Now, I heard someone say the other day that, yes, M.R. Hayes, what's up? Yeah, if I see an alarm, just tell me what you need, and I'll be glad to answer the question. Just give a shout it out. All right, so this is what's so cool about the covenant. The Lord made this blood covenant, and he says, I'm not going to go back on my covenant promise with you. But there, if someone breaks that covenant, there might be a divorce. And that's basically what happened. The God's people were divorced from the Lord. They had to be scattered to the winds and they had to be sent out. But he says he still loves them. If you don't remember the past, if you're not familiar with them, was it Hosea? Yeah, Hosea. The book of Hosea is one of the wildest books in the world. You know, he marries a prostitute. She's unfaithful to him. And then there's restoration at the end. That's the picture of what we are experiencing as humanity. We were unfaithful. Our ancestors were unfaithful to the Lord. We were basically divorced. But it didn't mean that the Lord didn't love us, as Jeremiah 29:11 says. But the Lord, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. Because he still loves us. But he had to make sure that he can't have us doing Baal worship, right? So even today, I declare, I'll restore double to you. Mm-hmm. All the things you've been through, yes, you've learned your lesson and know that you'll get double back. And so, which the honest truth is, you know, we don't deserve double. You know, it'd be great for him to take us back, but for him to give us double is amazing. All right, so he's saying now, I will then bend Judah as a bow for me. What does that mean? Jude, it's like a bow and arrow. You know how you bend the bow and that means it really, the arrow will fly really far. That's what he's talking about, that we are in his hand, this like a bow and arrow to get the truth out and to get the world set right and to have his kingdom come, have the righteous rule with him on this earth. Instead of us being used doing evil, we're actually doing good to bring righteousness in the earth. How about that for the grace of God, right? Mm-hmm. Right. How about the miracle of the Lord's saving grace in our lives, right? Instead of being used for evil, we're being used for good in his hand. All right. I didn't see any more questions on here. Maybe you can look on there, sit Tammy, and tell me if I'm missing anything. All right. So then he says, I will stir up your sons against your sons, Greece, and make you like the sword of a mighty man. So in this battle, we're doing two things. We're fighting evil, and we're also fighting to get the truth out, for you know, to overcome the lies that are all throughout the internet. And it's very interesting that right now we are able to reach more people. It's really, you know, we've been it's like we've been released, you know, to get more information out. So, which is really great. And the Lord is with us. Yahweh will be seen over them. His arrow will flash like lightning. The Lord is no doubt leading the charge. He is with us. And look at this. The Lord Yahweh will blow the trump. Did y'all catch that? Who caught that? Yep. Mm-hmm. This is all, the trumpets are everywhere throughout the Bible. This is so biblical. It's not even funny. Yahweh of armies will defend them. They will destroy and overcome with sling stones. They will drink and roar as through wine. That's what you guys are doing every day when you post and you share all this information. You are throwing sling stones to just decimate their lies. Now, I'm going to bring one up to you that I just posted yesterday. Well, actually posted a couple of days ago, and I didn't think anyone really saw it. So I made a little clip, and let me see if I can get this to... Why is it not refreshing? Anyway, I made a little clip. Ah, don't tell me that. I made a little clip to explain what's the truth about October 7th and Gaza and why Charlie was in such hot water, because he was exposing, what had gone on. October 7th was the stand down order. And so I posted this on my page, and because of you guys, I mean, it wasn't doing anything. It wasn't moving at all. And then I said, I need a push. And it kind of like, you know, if you go to when you're a kid and you're at the, on the swing set and you tell your sister, give me a push, you know, and all of a sudden it starts to move, right? It goes a lot faster. So that's what you guys helped it to do. And it gets into the algorithm and more people are seeing it. So this is what I was talking about, this rough guide to hell, how this proof from the Economist magazine from 2012, that this was no doubt the, an inside job. Yeah. So now, because of you guys, it's gotten 24,000 views. So thank you so much. And more people are seeing this. And they can also, if you click right here on this precious little girl, and you can see her talking about how, you know, she's so happy for the ceasefire and they're going to live. Can you imagine this little girl and all the little children are standing there like so happy? It's unbelievable. It really is. I'm so thankful 30,000 people have seen this precious little girl telling about how, you know, because unfortunately, people have been deceived into thinking that they're evil. They're not. They're not evil. They're precious little children that have lived all their lives in the biggest open air prison cell. It's just been something else. So anyway, I have 14 pages of this thing. So go, and what I need you guys to do is please take the time today. I'm going to share the link to it. If you will please go and like each one of them, heart them and everything, bookmark them, and that'll help this to get out there. That's what how the algorithm works. So just go in and heart and like every one of them. Watch this guy. He's been fighting so hard to save those poor children. He's just such an amazing Rabbi Beck. What a wonderful man he is. So yeah, this is how they hurt the people. Anyway, so this is what it's talking about right here in this passage. Let me grab this link real quick. This is what it's talking about here when it says that we will destroy and overcome with sling stones. That right there, I'm going to give you the sling stone right here. This is the this is Melly's ex post. Telling out the truth about whatever it is, whether it's about what, you know, all these different things. I've already probably gotten in trouble with X. I'll have to see what, with YouTube, I mean, I'll have to see if I should be able to put this on YouTube. Drives me crazy. Whatever. All right. So that, yeah, put that out, Miss Songbird, into the comment section. So you guys make sure to grab that link right now. Grab that from the chat so you can go onto my ex. It's pinned on my ex right now, and you can share that and blast that out. Like it says here in verse 15, they will destroy and overcome with sling stones. We're slinging out these stones like the, you know, and kind of when David, you know, was killing Goliath, you know, he did have that slingshot and he had to spin it around to make it go fast. And that's what you guys do. You help it to go faster and to get the truth out there. Anyway, they'll drink and roar as through wine. They'll be filled like bowls, like the corners of the altar. So did anybody research that? I don't have it in the book, I don't think. But what that means, they'll be filled like bowls, like the corners of the altar. So I'll go ahead and tell you, but you guys can tell me in the chat if you know what that is about. So back in the day when they had the physical temple and they would have the sacrifice, they would you know, kill the sacrifice, and the blood of the sacrifice would go all throughout this big this altar, and it would be, this is outside actually, and then you would take the blood actually into the temple. Okay, so but there would be these basins, and the blood would flow into those basins. Sounds kind of gory, right? But it's a picture of our Lord Jesus. It's a picture of the forgiveness. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The blood sanctifies everything. They would go into the temple, even into the Holy of Holies, even into the heart of hearts, even into your innermost being. And the blood of Christ sanctifies even on the inside of your heart. Not just the outside of the cup, but the inside. Cleanse it all. And so, you know, this is what the blood of Christ does. He cleanses everything. And that's what I think it's talking about here in this verse 15. They will be filled with bowls like the corners of the altar. We need so much cleansing in this earth. We need everyone cleansed. We need the food cleansed. We need the everything. The internet cleansed. We need cleansing. We need these bowls filled with the sacrificial blood to cleanse everything. Does that make sense? That's a, you know, it's kind of literary, you know, whatever. But it's very, it's talking about the cleansing. We want the land of Gaza cleansed from all this evil. We want the children to be cleansed and not to be sick. We want everyone to be well, all right? And all these things cleansed. The financial system's cleansed and the school's cleansed. And you see what I'm saying? They'll be filled with bowls like the altars, okay, like the corners of the altar. All right, isn't that wonderful? All right. And then the last two passages here, the Lord, their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they are like the jewels of a crown lifted on high over his land. You guys think of yourselves that way? I want you to remember that this day. You are jewels in this crown. And he's so proud of you. He is so proud of you and everything that you have done. And you just sparkle because of your faithfulness. And there was a passage here somewhere, I don't remember where it was, but there was something about that he would take the flock and make them into horses. Where was that? I guess it's maybe a little farther on. Yeah, it's a little farther on. I better not get ahead of myself. Anyway, for his how great is his goodness, how great is his beauty. Grain will make the young men flourish and new wine the virgins. Everyone's going to be restored. The young people are so stressed out because they can't. They're living in their cars. I mean, it's just been so awful. And I cannot wait for the young men to flourish. And the virgins are just, everyone's going to be so, oh my goodness, can't even wait. Everyone's going to be so much better. I just cannot wait. So just everybody hang on there. Hang in there. Everybody. It's not just the young people, but all the old people too. All of us are not going to be under all of this stress with our health and our finances and with everything. So it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be so wonderful. So just hang on tight. We're just about there. I love that President Trump brought out that Arc de Triomphe. I know that sounds French. I don't mean to say that Arch of Triumph. And that he's already starting to celebrate. He's like, the victory is here. Let's go ahead and start building this thing. Because by the time it's built, we'll be ready for this to be, to have the Arc of Triumph. All right. Anything else you want to add to that?
We are good.
Okay. All right. So now, 14.
Okay. Let's look at Zechariah 10, 2 through 3, 7 through 9. What is the Lord telling us about the shepherds who are supposed to lead the people? And what is he telling us about our connection to them? For the Tephraim have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and they have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, they go their way like sheep. They are oppressed because there is no shepherd. My anger is kindled against the shepherds, and I will punish the male goats. For Yahweh of armies has visited his flock, the house of Judah, and will make them as his majestic horse in the battle. And he,
right, there it is.
Ephraim will be like a mighty man, and their heart will rejoice as through wine. Yes, their children will see it and rejoice. Their heart will be glad in Yahweh. I will signal for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them. They will increase as they were before. I will sow them among the peoples. They will remember me in far countries. They will live with their children and will return.
Yay! Yay! I love this whole passage. Yay! Thank you so much, Tammy. Love that. Love that. All right. Yeah. So the teraphim is where they do like a little magic trick, whatever, and they're trying to fool the people. And to say, oh, see, this is what God wants you to do. And the people were fooled. They thought, oh, when they saw something, catch on fire, there was actually somebody underneath it lighting it on fire. But they didn't realize that. And so the teraphim, I can't remember exactly what the teraphim, whatever, they used it for evil, to like a magic trick, and to fool the people. Anyway, but it's spoken vanity. And who is he talking about right here? Is these people who are the priests, and they say they're the priests in the house of God, but they're really priests of Baal. And they were using God's house for evil. Of course they would. Of course they would want to use the precious children in the most holy place to deceive the people into doing something vile and wicked against the Lord. Yes, of course they would. What else would demons do? That's what they just get demonic glee out of such a thing as that. And the diviners have seen a lie. They've told false dreams. Okay, so he's talking here about these fake shepherds. He is not happy. And let's just be honest. The shepherds in this day have, by and large, not stood up and spoken the truth. Now, there are some, but a lot of them have not. And the thing is, many, the problem is many of them, if they were to speak the truth, especially in these big, places, the big denominations, they would not last. They would be gone. Who was the Catholic bishop, Archbishop Ferdinand, Vigano. He's one of the ones who's spoken out the truth. He's just been an amazing trumpeter of truth. You know, there are a few, but many of the pastors led the people down a wrong path and just basically just obey the government. And then you got even more wicked ones who are bringing in all this transgender into the house of God. I mean, this is what it's talking about. The same kinds of things were happening then. Therefore, they go their way like sheep, because the people are sheep. They just mostly believe what they're told. And that's like right now, that's why I wanted you guys to share that X post that I was just talking about, because the people don't realize they've been misled about Israel. They think these are true Jews, and they're not. As it says in Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9, they're fake. They're not the true Jews. And the people are deceived into thinking the wrong thing. And just there's been a lot of deception. In the golden age, there will not be any more deception. Anyway, so the Lord says his anger is kindled against the shepherds. It's kindled. In other words, if you're kindling a fire, it's like it's starting to burn hotter and hotter and hotter. For Yahweh of armies has visited his flock, the house of Judah, and will make them as his majestic horse in the battle. Instead of us being docile sheep who just believe whatever we're told and are led around by the nose, no, he will visit his flock and he will make them as his majestic horse in the battle. How about that? We have become warriors, patriots, during this battle. You know, we maybe were led around by the nose before, but when he woke us up, now look at this next verse. I love this. What happened to make us where we weren't the docile little sheep? Look at this. I will signal for them and gather them, for I've redeemed them. I've chosen them. He chose you for this. And look at it in another verse. I think it's the NLT version. It says, I'll whistle for them and they'll come running. I love the way it says it like that. And he's like, come on, come out. I need you to wake up. And I heard it. I know you did too. We heard the Lord whistle and say, come on, wake up. And I need you to jump in this battle. As soon as you found out about it, you were like, what do I need to do? Because I can't put up with this. Not living with this kind of baloney. Anyway, so that's a nice way to say it instead of the word I wanted to say. Anyway, I want y'all to be proud of Melly because I'm watching my mouth. Anyway, I will signal for them and gather them. He did. He woke us up from all over the earth. If you're not familiar, Revelation 14 talks about that there are those who are the first fruits, the first ones to wake up, who are with the Lord on the mountain, ready to go charge into battle. And that is us. Now, if you go to here, that's in this book, End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace. Now, that's the study guide, the End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace. I go into chapter by chapter by chapter, the book of Revelation. And so Revelation 14 is the one where it talks about that we're standing on the mountaintop alongside our Lord Jesus. But it's not everybody. It's just a few. It's the 144,000. What that's talking about is the few that God has chosen to be part of his battle. And so here's where you can watch all the videos on that. But do your homework first, though. All right, so here it says, I'll signal for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them. Now, normally we think of redeemed as forgiven and restored, which is true. But in this context, it's talking about that he has chosen us. He has hand-selected us, like the Omer. We celebrate the Omer in the springtime, where just like you see the beautiful Omer bundle behind me, that you pick out the Omer and you count the certain number of, 50 days of Omer for Pentecost. And so we are that bundle of grain that he hand-selected, chose for this particular job. And it's quite an honor. It's kind of been a pain in one sense, because now you've got people who are mad at you because you're telling some of the truth and they just, they don't want to hear about it. But eventually, and President Trump said something this week. Did you guys hear him? He said he had that round table of all these people who've been out telling the truth. But he was also talking to you and me. And he was saying there's going to be, you know, I'm going to, there's going to be awards or whatever. You know, I think he's going to reveal that we were right. The vindication will be sweet. I just got to say, it's going to be nice. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, with all this Q talk, it's been really nice from President Trump and then also from Putin's envoy, Kirill Dmitriev. That's been kind of nice. And then this morning I saw a post from General Flynn saying, where we go one, we go all. So maybe we're not crazy, right? The vindication will be sweet. But yeah, anyway. And it says, I'll sow them among the people. Sow as in not sowing in a needle and a thread. It's talking about sow as in plant. You were planted where he wanted you to be so that you, amongst the peoples, so that you would be able to tell the truth and to get this out there. Or maybe on a school board or maybe whatever the Lord has put you in to do. On election and working on solving the elections like Mike Lindell's doing. Don't forget to support Mike Lindell. Everybody make a note. I'm going to put it on here. MyPillow.com/Melly, M-E-L-L-Y. Go on there and they have free shipping for us and no one else gets free shipping. And so get some things for your Christmas gifts and that kind of thing because that man has fought unbelievably hard. There's nobody who deserves to have, to be awarded like he does, really. And so let's just help to support him in this. He's just really, not only is he no longer a multimillionaire, he's actually in debt, millions of dollars. Unbelievable patriot. Really great. So let's just continue to pray for him and support him and get lots of great products from him. All right. So number 15, was there anything else you want to add on 14?
Well, the very last line, and they will live with their children and return.
Oh, yeah, that one. That one. Oh, what do you think about that one?
Well, it's kind of a little bit different in different verses, but, you know, all the lost children will go home. They will be with their families again. That's a promise I just hold on to.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad that you didn't let me skip that one. That one's one that's a pretty big one. Yeah. I know a lot of people are estranged from their children because they literally, I just saw a post from Matthew McConaughey saying that I divorced my mom. Yeah. Yeah. They've literally put this out there. Don't talk to your parents. Don't talk to your parents because, you know, because they're Trump supporters. But we'll be back. And there's another passage that says they'll bring our children back to us on their shoulders. So yes. Just hang on tight, everybody. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Tammy. All right. Number 15.
Yeah. Okay. What does the Lord have Zechariah do to show his anger towards his people that are not listening to all the Lord has said and promised? 11:7-17. So I fed the flock to be slaughtered, especially the oppressed of the flock. I took for myself two staffs. The one I called favor, and the other I called union. And I fed the flock. I cut off the three shepherds in one month, for my soul was weary of them, and their soul also loathed me. Then I said, I will not feed you. That which dies, let it die. And that which is to be cut off, let it be cut off. And let those who are left eat each other's flesh. I took my staff, favor, and cut it apart, that I might break my covenant that I had made with all the peoples. It was broken in that day, and thus the poor of the flock that listened to me knew that it was Yahweh's word. I said to them, if you think it best, give me your wages, and if not, keep them. So they weighed for my wages and 30 pieces of silver. Yahweh said to me, throw it to the potter, the handsome price that I was valued at by them. I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them to the potter in Yahweh's house. Then I cut apart my other staff, union, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Yahweh said to me, take for yourself yet again the equipment of a foolish shepherd. For behold, I will raise up a shepherd in the land who will not visit those who are cut off, neither will seek those who are scattered, nor heal that which is broken, nor feed that which is sound. But he will eat the meat of the fat sheep, and will tear their hoofs in pieces. Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. The sword will strike his arm and his right eye. His arm will be completely withered, and his right eye will be totally blinded.
Yeah. Okay, the Lord is not happy with the false prophet. Can you tell? Not happy. Not happy. Again, this is why they did not read these passages in the church. Okay? And there's some who are in on it and some people who are duped. Okay? But either way, in most of the outward church, the people are highly controlled. Highly controlled. And you just can't come out and speak your mind. And you can't come out and say some of these verses, right? And so, yeah, he says, I'm cutting them off. Three shepherds, very symbolic, right? Like, basically, the New World Order's controlled shepherds, okay? He's cutting them off. My soul was weary of them. I feel the same way. Trust me, it galls me to no end when I hear someone who is a preacher of God's word. I said this on that video clip that I posted on X the other day. I would not want to be them if they're using God's word to deceive the people. I'm telling you, it is not, it's not good. Not good. Not good. Not. I don't want to tell you, it's just not good. Lowest place. I'm telling you, it's serious. You cannot do that. You cannot use God's word to deceive the people. There's nothing worse than that. Anyway, so, because the people are counting on that, because they trust God, they trust God's word. And for them, like, you know, back in the day, they were saying, oh, well, God wants you to sacrifice your children, right? But now, you know, when people are saying, oh, the Zionists are the good guys and the Palestinians are the bad guys, I'm like, this is evil. They know better. When someone knows better, it's about the knowingly. There are some people who are deceived and they don't understand, but the knowingly is the problem. And he says, if these ones who knowingly are doing this, he says, you know, I said, you know, go ahead. If I will not feed you, that which dies, let it die. That which is cut off, to be cut off. Let those who are left eat each other's flesh. Okay, go ahead. If that's what you want to listen to, is someone who's lying to you, then you'll get what you deserve, is basically what he's saying. You'll have to bear the consequences. And it's kind of like with us, when we're talking to people about, you know, if you do this, if you listen to this, if you buy into this, this is the consequences are going to be bad. I'm not going to talk, y'all know what I'm talking about. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Like the jab. This is what's going to happen. You warn them, and then they still do it, and then they're going to bear the consequences. And like, pray and listen to the truth and don't be led around by these people who are lying to you. And your children, please don't take the Tylenol, right? It's that kind of, but if you do, it's like, you're going to pay the consequences. That's what he's talking about here. And it's just so frustrating, and we feel it too. It's just like, please don't listen to these people lying to you. And so he cut this off, and he says he broke the covenant. Well, the covenant was already broken by the other person. They already broke the covenant. The Lord didn't break the covenant, but he says, okay, well then, if we've got to separate, then we have to separate, because I can't, there's no fellowship between light and darkness. You cannot worship God and mammon, God and the devil. You can't, there's no fellowship there. You can't have both. So it was broken. And the poor flock that listened to me knew that it was Yahweh's word. You're going to have to leave the land. And they all left the land. They all had to be sent into exile. But again, the happy news is that this is the end of the exile. That's what President Trump was talking about when he said about the 3,000 years. Anyway, it says if you think it best, give me my wages. If not, keep them. You know, I don't need your money. And so they weighed out to me 30 pieces of silver. Actually, I saw some kind of calculation that 30 pieces of silver was kind of like that $7,000 per post that these people were getting for posting lies. Yeah, I would not want to be in their shoes. He says, throw it to the potter, the handsome price that I was valued at to them. Of course, this is talking about our Lord Jesus. This is where it comes from. This is why they chose the 30 pieces of silver to as kind of a jab against our wonderful Lord Jesus. But then they fulfilled prophecy. And so they're saying that that's all he was worth. And he says, fine, go ahead and do that. He knows his value. And it's not based upon what anyone says. And I want you to feel the same way. I want you to know you are highly prized and highly valued before the Lord. You are the jewel in that beautiful crown he was talking about. And whether someone appreciates what you're telling or not, the Lord appreciates it. Even if you give someone a cup of cold water. It may not even be cold. It's just a cup of water. They don't have to be cold. Just give them some water. And the Lord appreciates that you're doing this because you're trying to help. I know when I posted that X post that I'm going to catch a lot of grief. I knew that. I know I'm going to catch a lot of grief. Y'all know the problem on my laptop this week, I got hit with a virus. Thankfully, the Lord helped me to restore it, and we're going on down the road. The Lord always has helped me to get through these things. But I'm telling you, you know, under attacks on one side or another. But understand, it doesn't matter. The Lord knows that you are doing it for good. You're doing it to try to help the people. You're trying to help shake some sense into them, right? Mm-hmm. And some you will, and some you won't, right? So he cut him off. He says, okay, we're divorced now. But he's always there, ready to take us back, either on a personal level or on this corporate level. And that's where we are as humanity. Everyone is returning to the Lord. That's what we're going to see. It's going to be so wonderful. So he says, take for yourself again the equipment of a foolish shepherd. For I will raise up a shepherd in the land who won't visit those who are cut off, and won't seek those who are scattered, nor heal what is broken, nor feed that which is sound. He won't do anything to really help the people understand the truth. Not only the truth about the Lord, but also the truth about, you know, his word and the truth about what's going on. Most of them may not even know themselves. But either way, instead of helping the people, instead of being a mouthpiece for the Lord, they actually end up harming the people. Look at this in verse 16. It says, he will eat the meat of the fat sheep and will tear their hoofs in pieces. He will just rob them, take their money, take their sustenance, take from them, and even tear their hoofs in pieces. It's like even the things that you don't even need. You can't eat a hoof. It's like taking the hoof just because so they can't even walk. And yeah. This is a problem. The Lord, you see why the Lord is very, very, very angry. He says, woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. The sword will strike his arm and his right eye. His arm will be completely withered and his right eye totally blinded. All right. So, this is what Zechariah knew. He felt the same way you and I do, that we need the church to wake up. We need the pastors to wake up. I called out what Rob McCoy was saying the other day. He's supposed to be a pastor, and he's calling people who are questioning, and even Charlie, to be honest, he's calling out Charlie Kirk because he was questioning October 7th. He's calling us all anti-Semites. What's that about? This is what I'm talking about. I'm calling it out. I'm just going to call it out. This is what it's talking about here. Okay. I even hit my screen because I get so upset. All right. So not hit the screen, but I hit the keyboard and messed up the screen. Anyway, so yeah. There's two things going on in this passage. One is there are worthless shepherds that people prefer to listen to because they're telling them what they want to hear. Mm-hmm. And it goes along with the narrative, and it makes sense, and it makes, oh, well then, you know, that's what everybody believes. But there are others who are saying, no, they're lying to you. They're diviners. They're lying to you. And yeah, he says, fine, if you won't listen to me, you'll have to bear the consequences of your actions that you won't listen to the truth. Okay, does that make sense now? We did it. It's 103. We're doing pretty well. So that was the next five questions in this chapter. So I think next week we'll finish the whole thing. So this is part three. We'll do part four. I think we'll wrap it up next week on the 18th. All right, is there anything else? We can check the comments and see if anybody else had any questions or thoughts. And do you have anything else, Miss Tammy, to add?
No.
Right. Okay,
I just feel like the lines are being drawn and we're seeing the lines. So.
Yes.
It is coming.
Yes. And so, okay, remember this. This is the knowingly are the ones that the Lord is angry with. Okay? Mm-hmm. The deceived ones he's coming to rescue. Okay? Right. And it's kind of like the wheat and the tares. You don't know which is which. He says, we can't judge anything before the time. We're going to throw the truth out there and, you know, hopefully some people will receive it. Some people won't. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the Lord is the only one who can give someone the ears to hear and the eyes to see. All right, Tammy, would you pray for us?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for this day, for this word. Each day that we hear from you, we get closer and closer to what your truth and the revelation of what is about to happen. And we just love you, Lord. We just ask each person here today and each person that they speak with, that they take this to their heart, that they spread it through the nations, that we just have a moment where we just know, Lord, and everyone, those who don't quite know yet, that we just open their eyes and they come to you, Lord. We just bring this forth. We just ask that all things be done to you for your glory. And we just love you and praise you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I love it. Thank you, darling. Okay, so if you don't have the study guide, it's over here, and I'll put the link. I bet Songbird's already done that. Here's the link to all the books right here. Mm-hmm. They're over on Amazon. Just type in End Times and 1,000, and it'll pull it up right away. So here's the books, and so get a study guide so you can really soak it in. These books are so wonderful. This is what we've been doing is the major clues from Minor Prophets. But if you haven't done the End Times in 1,000 Years of Peace, you got to do that one, because that really will help you to understand the truth of end times and also the wonderful stories from God's Word that were a roadmap for us. This is my book, This is Biblical, 17 Bible Stories Happening Before Our Eyes. For example, we're in the Feast of Tabernacles that will finish on the 14th. And so yesterday was it started in the evening. We're celebrating on the Day of Tabernacles, the wonderful Moses. And in this book, I talk about how Moses was leading the people out of being under bondage to the tyrants. I think that's very interesting. That happened on 10-10, that we have the celebration of being set free from the tyrants. All right, so I'm going to talk more about that tomorrow on our show on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Central. I'm always Central Time, and be looking for that. And also, don't forget, go as soon as you get off this the chat, come go check out that post that's pinned on my Melissa Red Pill X, and please help to share it. Like, everyone, go to each one of them and share it to help this truth run, right? Just like we said in Zechariah. All right, thank you guys. I love you. It's time to go. Yes, amen. I love you. All right, I'm going to jet out of here, and I'll see you tomorrow morning at 11 a.m., and I'll talk to you later.